But last week, I gave a sermon on the fact that we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it's a quote that comes from Matthew 10. It's a quote that many people out in the world actually know something about. But it, as I hope I showed you in the sermon last week, there's a great deal more to that particular passage when you actually look at the context that you find it in. And you find particularly that it is a case that in being as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, or wise as serpents as harmless as doves, we need to be representing the very kingdom of God. We need to be a representative of the kingdom of God before the world and before the rulers of the world. And in that area, and also in other areas as well, one of which we'll actually have a look at today, there are commands that will tell us to not premeditate what we answer. If we find ourselves in front of the authorities of this land or the authorities in any way, we don't need to premeditate what we have to answer. And yet, over in 1 Peter 3:15, which again we'll look at shortly, we are told to be ready to give an answer. We're told to be ready to give an answer. So on one side it says don't premeditate to give an answer. On the other side it says be ready to give an answer. Which is correct? And how do you reconcile these two aspects? And that is really what I'd like to do today within the sermonette, is to have a look at the scripture, particularly in 1 Peter chapter 3:15, and really see what it's talking about. Before we go into that, let's turn over to Luke 21. Now, Luke 21 is particularly important to us because it's talking to the disciples about the end time events. It's the corresponding passage in Luke that is corresponding to Matthew 24 and Mark 13, where Christ is talking about end time events just before the crucifixion, just shortly before the crucifixion. And here in Luke 21, in verse 11, and this is a passage that I read last week, it says, "And great earthquakes shall be in different places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful signs and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these," so before the signs from heaven, before the heavenly signs, so we're going back, probably right the way back to the time of the apostles, the early apostles, all the way through to the present day. So before the heavenly signs, before all these, "they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony." So here you are actually going to be used to be able to give an account. Presumably the word testimony is martyreo, from which we get the word martyr, but it's a testimony, a witness against them in that sense. And it says in verse 14, and here is one of these instances where we're told and instructed when we actually find ourselves in front of authorities, it says, "Settle it therefore in your hearts." So be very careful, make sure before you actually go into the situation, settle it in your hearts, not to meditate before what you're going to answer. Not to go and rehearse and go through before what you're going to answer. "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." And it says that you'll be betrayed by parents and so on, and they shall cause you, some of you to be put to death. And it says, "And you will be hated of all men for my name's sake." But, and notice this carefully, and you keep this one in mind, because we'll actually refer back to it in the future, a little bit further in through the sermonette. "But there shall not a hair of your head perish." Remember that God is going to be there with us at that time when we are having to give an account. And he says, don't worry about it, don't meditate about it, don't premeditate. "In your patience possess your souls, and when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation there is of his nigh." It's the abomination that makes desolate. So it goes right up to the very end time, when the time the church has to flee. So it's certainly very pertinent to every single one of us. It's something that we need to take careful note of. Okay, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Because here in verse 15 of 1 Peter 3, it says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear." So is there a conflict between what is being said here and what we've just read over in Luke 21? Because in Luke 21 it says, don't premeditate. Now, understand that when we're looking at Luke 21, it's a specific occurrence. It's a case of when we're actually brought before authorities. is when we're brought before authorities. Here, it says to every man, be ready to go ahead and give an answer. And so there is a slight difference in when we look at it there. But let's have a look at some of the context. As I've said to you many times, if you want to try and understand a passage of Scripture, the best thing to do is to read around it. And in many cases, you know, 99 cases out of 100, you'll be able to actually work out the answer yourself by reading around it. But let's start over in verse 8. It says, finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one to another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So he's actually, here is Peter telling us the way in which we are supposed to behave, how we're supposed to actually act towards one another, the kind of attitudes and minds that we need to have. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So if we want to go ahead and inherit a blessing of eternal life, we also need to understand that we also, our words and our actions need to be blessing and not cursing. Not rendering evil for evil, not behaving in a carnal way. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. You know, this is again, you read the book of James, you find that it's a great deal to actually talk to us about the use of the tongue and how the tongue, quite frankly, to control the tongue, you've got to control the heart. That's the core of the subject. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. So this is all to do with that being outgoing, being loving, having the kind of character that God has, that Christ had when he was here on the earth. And then it goes into a section. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So God is quite aware, and Christ is quite aware of what's going on. And he's watching over those that are behaving in the right way. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? Remember what we just read in Luke 21? It says that not a hair on your head will perish. Even though you're brought before men, even though you may even die in the process, not a hair of your head will perish. And it says, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So even here, in this particular verse, in verse 15, it's in the context of being brought before authorities. In other words, what are we saying? We're saying we've got to be a representative of the kingdom of God, which is exactly what I was talking about last week. And in that context, therefore, notice what it says. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. There is the key to the verse. There is the key to the verse. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That's the key. And, in that context, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason for the hope that is within you, that is in you, with meekness and fear. Now, there's a number of things within that section that you start to bring out. The fact that it's talking about giving an answer to every man that asks you. It doesn't mean to say we go out and we actually ram our religion down people's throats. We don't do that. That is something that we don't do. It's being ready to give an answer to those that ask. So, first of all, people have got to ask. And the advice that I tend to give to people that are wondering, you know, what should they do about such and such who's next door, who keeps asking them questions, is basically answer the question. Be ready to give an answer to this individual who is asking. But you don't answer any more than the question. You don't put pearls before swine. You don't go beyond that. You just simply answer the question. And notice also, it's of the reason of the hope that is in you. It's the reason why you believe what you believe. It's the hope that is in you. But how is it done? It says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now, the word sanctify is a very interesting word. It actually is the same root as the word that we get for the Holy Spirit, the word holy, hagios, which is used for Holy Spirit. It's also the same root, the word holy, hagios, and the word saint is the same word as well. And this particular word, hagiazo, which is sanctify, is to make holy. One area, again, putting your notes, I'm not going to have time to turn there, but Matthew 6:9, it says, after this manner pray you, and it says, Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed there is this word for sanctify. So we should be going before God every single day, talking about how we sanctify, we hallow his name. It is much, the way in which this is actually implemented is not rehearsing great lists of scriptures. It's not going through and working out all the details of what you're going to say when you're actually brought before an authority. That's not what this is talking about at all. What this is talking about is to make sure you know what you believe. It's to make sure that you understand the sanctification that has been given to you. The fact that you have been made and been called as a saint, has been called as a holy one, sanctifying the very Lord God in your hearts, the very Spirit of God that is in there. It's making sure that the Spirit of God is there, actively working, so it's ready to then give an answer. So you're ready then to give an answer. Now, part of that process of sanctification involves the very Word of God. Involves understanding the Word of God. And remember what it's saying. It's talking about the hope that lies within you. It's not trying to counter all the arguments. It's not going through with a defense plan. It's not doing all of these kind of things that you rehearse in. We rehearse in our mind. We think, oh, well, this will happen and that will happen. Then I'll get before a judge and this is what I'm going to say. That's the kind of thing that you put to one side. But what this is talking about is making sure that what the hope that is actually within us, with meekness, with fear, that we understand, that we fully comprehend it ourselves, so we can give an answer in the future if anybody were to ask for that reason. Another area that you can put in your notes, John 17:17, this word sanctify is being used again, this word hagiazo, sanctify them through your truth, Christ said. And what is that truth? Your word is truth. So how do we do this? Well, we get our nose into the scriptures. We make sure that we not only get our nose in the scriptures, but we actually put it into effect in our life as well. And it talks, again, another one you can put in your notes, Ephesians 5:26. That he may sanctify, same word being used, and cleanse it, talking about the church, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So again, here is the word of God being used to sanctify, to cleanse. And it's not a case of giving an answer. It's not a case of giving an answer in the sense of making all the right legal arguments. That's not what is being talked about. It's making sure that we are cleaned up by the washing of water, by the word. This is why it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, that we are cleaned up. That we have the Spirit of God, that we have the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, what the Spirit can then use, so we are ready. So that we are ready when the time comes. So we see here, when we put this into context, the context is the way in which we conduct ourselves in the right way we conduct ourselves. And this particularly this first part of the verse, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, really gives the main thrust of the clue as to how we are to be ready. And then by sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, we are ready always to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that is in you. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conduct in Christ. Again, notice how it goes back to conduct. And it's the conduct, where's it coming from? It's coming from the sanctification. It's coming from the way in which we are living, the way in which the hope that is lying within us, causing us to act in a certain way. For it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. So again, we're giving that as an example. Let's have a look at one other scripture. Put a marker in 1 Peter 3, because we'll come back there. But final scripture, let's just turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Because that word of God, what we're looking at, the actual sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, through which we can understand what we need to understand to be able to give an answer, so that we have that Spirit active and the Word being used by that Spirit within our lives. I want you to notice what it says here in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." Now that doesn't mean quick in our terminology today. That means living. It means alive. So it's the Word of God is alive and powerful. That's how, as we've read over here, you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, make the Word that is there a living, active within our lives. "And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open." So it's very clear, it's not talking about just the Word as these academic words that we read. He's talking about the living Word, the Logos, the actual Christ, as it goes on and says. It says, "The eyes of him whom we have to do, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." There's the living Word, where the Word of God has an effect in a life in a way that we also need to be emulating. So if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 again, realize and understand that the key to this verse is that beginning phrase, that we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Once we've done that, if we make sure that that Word is a living Word, it's living in our life, we then will be ready, should we be called upon, should we be dragged before the courts, to go ahead and not premeditate at that time, not mull over all our arguments, not try and do it on human strength, but we have a basis on which we can then work. We have a basis on which the very Spirit can then draw, because we have done the study that is necessary at a previous time. And it's then, by doing that, then we will indeed be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you, and that we do this with meekness and with fear.